Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadyen, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode, number 493, I'm welcoming to the show Amy Betters Midvit.
And then we want to look at that kid and realize they're right there in front of us, and we have all these other minutes to still connect and focus and to build this new relationship with them. And this relationship can last an entire lifetime. It can last forever. It's not 18 years. They don't leave and you never see them again. If you connect and are in relationship with this new version, you are going to find so much joy and so many things that are amazing and cool.
Amy is the mom to 5 children ages 12 to 22 who just all happen to be living at home this year. And she's a seasoned educator working with teens and children for 25 years. She's a Today Parenting contributor and the author of the book, You'll Make It and They Will Too, Everything No One Talks About When You're Parenting Teens. Today, she and I are going to help you feel less alone in parenting your teen. Maybe you don't even feel like you have in real life people you can talk to. We're going to even navigate that. How do you find those safe people? How do you help your teens navigate their friend groups? I'm going to ask her some challenging questions about influence and how do we as parents acknowledge when we maybe have messed up ourselves? What if your child is struggling through mental health? What if they don't want to go to school? How do you work through that challenge? We're going to get that practical. More than anything, Amy has a really fun energy, a lot of joy and hope, and I hope you get that out of this conversation. So let's get right to it. Here we go. Amy, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you so, so much for having me. This is
We're already having too much fun, right?
I know, exactly.
We're like, oh man, where is this conversation going to go is the question.
All the places.
So sometimes I have people who are counselors or parenting guru people to talk about different topics. And sometimes I have friends, you know, like peers that can say, hey, and then a mentor. And I feel like you fit in the peer mentor situation because you're still in it.
Yes.
But you also have some perspective, which is helpful.
Yes.
You're not like forgetting.
No.
You're not rose colored glasses on like things that really are hard, you know?
Correct.
And your subtitle of your new book, Everything No One Wants to Talk About Parenting Teens.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's all in there.
Because it becomes their story.
Absolutely.
And sometimes when we're in the same school communities, we can't say all the things.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. So hard.
I feel like really stuck in that right now.
Right.
So how do you even manage that? Let's start there. How do you, when you're having a challenge with a teen, I mean, you currently have a 13 to 23-year-old, 5 kids.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. All living in your house right now.
Uh-huh. All of them. All 5 of them.
They come back.
They come back. And sometimes they just like stick right together.
You're doing such a good job. Why
would they leave? They love me.
Oh, so lovely. So you're struggling with something. What's your go-to? Like, how do you manage that with friends so that you honor your kids, but you personally need support and help?
Absolutely.
What's your advice?
I was just having this conversation with some friends who actually formed a little book club around the book. And they had this moment that really kind of solidified for me what I believe around this, right? Because they were three people that had talked about all the things, had talked about their kids when they were small, but now we're struggling to find just that. Who can I talk to about some of these things? And where is the line that I draw that this is just my kid's story? And so because they were having these conversations around the book, they were able to deepen some of those and kind of find that line. Like, where is it that these are my most trusted people that I've known my, and for them, it was like, they've known their kids for a long time. Sometimes that can be key because they knew your kids when they were little and there's a lot less judgment sometimes around that. Mm-hmm. If you can pull alongside a few people, and maybe for you, it's people who don't know your kids, right? Whatever it is, but finding those few trusted confidants, maybe it's family members. For me, a lot of times I have three sisters. So it was my sisters and my mom. But even then, there were things I could not say. There were stories that I cannot tell that I will hold forever for my children that will never come out of my lips because that's the ask that has been asked of me and I want to be their person. So for me, it has been those few trusted, knowing I'm no longer like telling the funny story like I would have been telling when they were toddlers, right, to all the masses. And then what I've done is actually found a therapist for myself. So there is somebody else that I can talk about my things with, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times with our, even when we're talking with our friends about our kids, they don't have to know the whole story to be able to feel our pain and hold on to that with us, right? There are a lot of times where I can say to somebody, I am just really struggling with something big with one of my kids. Can you hold space for me to tell you that I'm struggling right now? They don't need to know X, Y, and Z about that, the specificity of that, just unloading that moment of like, I am struggling. I don't know what to do next. I am unsure about how to support my kid. Can you help? Can you support me so I can better support them? Can just be the entry point that you need. But we do still need to find ways to support each other and talk, or we will sit on an island of pain thinking we are the only person whose kids are off the rails. We are it. We're the only one. Everybody else is doing great. Right? And we'll just hold that in our own bodies. And that does not actually make us the best version of ourselves for parenting our kids either.
Yeah. Oh, man. That is totally it, right? Like, you could think, I did all of the right things all the way up to this point, and now they're their own people going off.
Yeah.
And you think, I don't remember teaching that one.
Right? Like, actually, I know I said not to do that.
That wasn't a modeling thing. They're like, they follow what you do, not what you say. I'm like, no, they don't.
They just do their thing. They do their own thing, which sometimes can be extremely surprising.
So surprising.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you handle if there's another family involved? Have you had that situation?
Yes.
What if you know something about another person's kid?
Gosh, it's one of the hardest things.
What do you do?
I think that really depends on the overall relationship that you have with the kid and with the family. Is it going to be well received? Is it not? I'm an educator. So I'm also like in my job, a mandatory reporter, right?
Oh, right. When it's like a,
So if there's something that's a safety issue, so I know that route, right? If it's just something, your kid was in the weeds with my kid and you know, like getting the tattoo in the back of the van with my child at the time when she decided that was like her next best move.
Like if your children are both making a bad decision.
Both making a bad decision. And I have a good relationship with that parent. I am absolutely going to include that parent. But I'm going to also talk to the kids because I try to have that good relationship with my kids' friends as much as I can as well. So there's also a certain amount of encouraging you can do with the teens to say, listen, this is something like, okay, I already know about it. My kid is already, this is what's already happening over here. Can you go forth now and talk to your parent? Or is that something you'd like me to help you with, right? Because this is kind of becoming a bigger situation. If you can, right? Because I do think there's those moments where we do need to stick together as parents and be real clear. And I've tried to be real clear. Like, if my kid is the one doing it, and I've had parents say that right to me, can you please tell me? Can we please be on the same page together as much as we can? And now there are other situations where you know it's not going to be well received, or it's not something that really is like tangentially. I've heard this X, Y, and Z. I'm not going to go down those roads. But if my kid is in it, your kid is now caught too, right? Like that, those are the moments where we just need to be, because for the kids too, they need that community of like, all right, here's how it all pans out. I know one thing that was really important to me growing up was like knowing my mom's friends were talking to her, right? And it was like, I was not going to just slide by, right? Like the parents are a community that are gathered around you. We want the best for you. And your whole community at large wants the best for you. So we need to be pretty transparent when we see our kids doing things publicly that are not okay. And we need to gather around those teens in a non-judgmental way together to be like, all right, collectively, guys, we're going to put some brakes on some of what's happening here for you as a group. And it's so much better if we can parent in community with each other. Think about things like even like social media, all the stuff. If we can be in it together and pull alongside them together, that's where we have to kind of be at least talking a little bit with each other.
And I have stories of boys where that has been true, and I have stories of boys where that's not true.
Correct.
Like certain classes where I just don't know the parents at all, and there's not really an openness to hang out. Others where we know each other so well that all the moms will have dinner and something gets shared, and then that mom goes home, and then it becomes this whole like, oh shoot, guys, when I share that at dinner, that wasn't meant to be told to your child. But then at the same time, we just like you were like, yeah, but it's good that they know we're talking.
Right.
It's like this balance of like.
It's like a dance. It's like a crazy dance.
It feels real hard. Like
It is. And we're going to mess up. That's the other thing. We are going to mess up 1,000 times. And we just have to know that and tell our kids. Like, I did this thing because I thought it was the next best move. And you know what? It was not. Mm. I messed up. I should not have done this, and I apologize. And that is one of the most key important things. Where I get in the weeds is when I think I needed to have gotten it right and I didn't, and somehow I need to like hide that or try to get it right or like try to like shine it up for myself. Like, well, it's actually good or it's actually okay. Like sometimes it's actually not okay. I actually messed that completely up and I am so sorry. And who do I need to repair with, right? And is it my kid? Is it someone else? Whoever it is. But going into that repair mode to say, I am sorry, what can I do to earn back your trust? Because guess what, kid, you will find yourself in that seat 1,000 times. And so this is my opportunity to model what happens when you mess up. Like, I'm not going to try to hide it. I'm not going to try to run from it. I am going to try to show you what it's like to humbly say, oops, because 1,000 times our kids are going to, I mean, way more than we are, I hope, are going to have to 1,000 times say, oops. Mom and dad, mom, whoever, I goofed this up. I messed up.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
And you talk about the first pancake. Tell me about this. This is parenting your first teen, right? Like,
yes.
Such a learning curve, because like what you're saying, like I would say that to my oldest. I would say, I am, you know, so sorry. This is the first time I've ever had a sophomore in high school. The first time I've ever had a junior in high school. Like, name the stage. First time I've ever sent someone off to college. Like, I don't have a roadmap for this.
Right.
And even though I've done it with one, like we just said, they're all so unique.
Yes.
I can't take plays from that route and think it's going to work again on this game.
Absolutely
not.
Absolutely cannot. No, it's all so different. That first pancake, I think what they can teach us is not the playbook, but it is like for parenting, this is how I'm going to do it. It's okay, I'm not going to do that again.
I call them Titanic moments. Like, here's the iceberg. Just avoid that. I'll be your Titanic and let you know there is an iceberg right there.
Yeah. Just so you know. Yep. Like, that was just a no. That's a no. Got it. And so from that, we can become more solid and more trusting of what doesn't work and the things that sort of did. And most of it's internal. Most of it's how I'm reacting. It's not the exact thing we're saying or doing. It's that I am not freaking out and yelling, right? It's like I am not losing my mind and grounding you for 3 months. To which you calmly say,
"It's the inner message."
It's the inner grounding that we can take from that to be like, "Okay, we survived all of that, and so now I can do it again, and I can parent from a place where I'm not as scared, I'm not as worried, I'm not as anxious, and I'm a little bit more solid. So when things come up, I can center myself and not act like the lunatic that I sometimes act like with my first pancake, which she'd be happy to tell you."
Yeah. And I just think it's one of those things. I view it kind of like tantrums with 2-year-olds and how I responded with my first versus my last. I've said this on the podcast before, but the tantrum in my kitchen is a lot less publicly humiliating than the teen.
Yes.
You know? And I think there's a lot of grief happening.
Oh.
In this stage, you talk about the loss of a child, basically.
Yes.
When you move into the teen years, let's help a mom if she's feeling that, if she's feeling this grief.
Yes.
Talk to her.
Here's the thing that I want to tell that mom. Like, your kid is still there. They are directly right in front of you. Yeah. And if you are focusing so much, and it's okay to grieve. I'm going to say that first. It is okay to be sad. You need to actually have those feelings and work through them. The more I tried to shed them or push them aside or pretend they weren't happening, it didn't make them go away. Yeah. What helped was to acknowledge, I miss that little curly-haired girl who used to give me that series of kisses every time she walked out the door, right? And who hugged my neck so tight. I miss
that. Why am I crying already?
I know.
What is going on with me? I don't even have a little girl.
But you can, because you can picture those moments with your boys, right? Where they just loved you.
Or friends' little girl. I mean, I think too, like, you see the TikToks of the girls in the college these days. And I'm like, where did they go? They were in ballet class and now they're shaking their group thing.
They are. On the TikTok, where we are like, what is even happening? And that's the
moment. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying, like, I could imagine that you have this grief that.
It is. Yes.
This is a totally different person. And you're saying it's not.
It's not. It feels like it is. And I remember one of the times when I did lose it and I really was yelling and I was really off the rails and I was really scared. I was really scared about some of the things that this girl was doing that I thought she would never do, because when they're little, they're never going to make a mistake. Right? They are perfect. And I was
modeled perfect behavior.
I modeled perfect behavior. We're set. I've done all the right things. We're good to go. And then they go in their own human selves as God made them, right? And they're as they are supposed to be. And I'm looking at this tall, beautiful, like semi-adult human. And I am just giving her the riot act because I am so scared. And I could see in her eyes, 2-year-old her looking back at me scared. I was actually scaring her. And I thought that 2-year-old is still – every one of those iterations of that girl are in there. And I am not showing up for that person. And I'm not showing up for who she is right now, and it's not fair. It's not fair for me just to constantly grieve her and say, oh, you used to. All I'm doing is causing her to feel bad about who she is right now, which causes them to not want to connect and talk to you. Who wants to talk to someone who's only focused on like how you used to be and how that was so great and how now is just a hot mess? Like, you're now a dumpster fire. Gee, I wish you were this other version, right? And so we're giving that message. So we want to grieve our thing, and then we want to look at that kid and realize they're right there in front of us, and we have all these other minutes to still connect and focus and to build this new relationship with them. And this relationship can last an entire lifetime. It can last forever. It's not 18 years. They don't leave and you never see them again. If you connect and are in relationship with this new version, you are going to find so much joy and so many things that are amazing and cool. I mean, my kids have shown me some really great things on the TikTok, right? Like, I've even gone on. I've got some videos on TikTok, and I've had like some of my kids' friends actually came and said, I'm saving your TikToks. I love them. Keep them coming about parenting, because there is this connection to who they are now and an acknowledgement of the really amazing things. So it's okay. They're still there. There's so many good things, and you can still find them, and they are, you will find them. I promise
you. That's good. Yeah. I think I did that yesterday. I think I told a son, you used to love animals. Right. Do you not love animals anymore?
What's happening? What do you love now? So confusing.
One question I did want to ask, you know, I'm selfish, is one thing with teens, you talked about their friends just now. Like,
yes,
their friends are watching, you're connecting. It sounds like you have really great connections with your kids' friends too. My question is, I've had all different versions where the challenge is maybe finding friends.
Oh, yes.
And then I've had, my husband and I were like, well, which is worse, no friends or bad influences? At least they have some friends.
Yes.
But. And I hate saying that out loud, but I know there's a mom listening that's the situation she's in, because I've gone in and out of that before. Yeah. So.
As have we.
Okay.
It's about 5 kids, all very different. Their friend groups have been all very different. And there's been different iterations of friend groups. And I write about in the book how, like, that was unexpected for me, that these friend groups were going to change. And then new friends were going to come in that I didn't know their families. I didn't know any of them. Right. And I wasn't going to have the opportunity to. That wasn't going to be my utopia.
When they start driving.
Yes.
I feel like that is when it's a little bit trickier to have your hands on who they're hanging out with and where they're going.
Right. Yeah. And they're on social media. They'll meet kids in different places, different districts. And so they have this wide social circle. But I will, you know, to speak to no friends, bad friends, right now, my current best answer is I have one who's gone for no friends rather than the friend group that was really, I would say, ultimately just what she says is bringing her down and leading her to different places. Can it be heartbreakingly lonely to watch?
Yeah.
100% it can. And it's very difficult. But I do notice the mental health of this particular child is way better. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the barometer. That's where my thumb is on this whole thing, is watching and helping them, right? Because we can see it, but I want to try to help them listen to that inner voice, because their inner voices are talking to them all the time. We've planted wonderful seeds. We have. When we say we've done all the right things, we have. It's just we don't know the right things right now, and we can't always see it. And they're not always listening to those things. But inside there is this inner voice. I tell them that God planted that in their bellies, right? God planted that in your heart. There's a voice that's going to talk to you. And actually, sometimes you need to listen to that over my voice, because sometimes my voice is speaking fear and your voice is speaking direction and bravery. So I want them to listen to themselves. So we've worked really hard when it comes to friends to listen. What is your gut telling you about this friend? Where are they leading you? How do you feel when you're with them? Are they bringing you up? Do you feel like the best version of yourself? Are they leading you toward beautiful truths in your life, or are they leading you towards things that you know don't match your integrity? They don't match where you're going. And so sometimes that's a longer process than me just saying, oh, good Lord, we need to stop hanging out with these people. But if we say, oh, good Lord, they're not going to listen to that. That's actually doubling down, and you're going to make the process last longer. It is planting that seed in them to listen. I do think that is worthwhile, because when they come to their own realization, they might be lonely for a bit, but they're recalibrating and looking for different things in their next relationships. High school might also not be where you find your lifelong friends, right? And it is. And for me, fortunately for me, and probably unfortunately for my kids, I did find lifelong friendships in my high school. And they'll see me still visit these friends and spend time with them. And I think I accidentally sent the message, that's what we're all supposed to do. And I had to course correct and say, no, not for all of you. That's not it, right? Like, you are living in a different world, different high school, different groups, different everything. You are different people. So we're just going to build up what are good and true relationships. Where can you find them?
Yeah. No, that's good. I remember asking a friend who's a counselor about this topic, and she was saying, like, everyone we're with leaves ripples of, like, if you picture waves and or a boat going past, like, how does their ripple impact you? Like, how, absolutely, after being with them, how do you feel? And I do think those questions, so that your child gets engaged, that's like training them in the skill,
yes,
of advocating for people who treat them well.
That, absolutely.
And saying, okay, what's the word friend even mean?
Right.
Like, a friend shouldn't be, I have another one who's had some people in his life, I'm not even going to call them friends, because they just come and they go. And it's very, like, it's so disloyal. And my heart breaks because I think when they're in, they are all in. But then they so quickly can just go away. And I think that's not really a friend.
No.
And I don't know. But it's, I think it is, like, you get to that coaching stage of the teen years.
Yes.
And unless it is, like, actual harm, like physical abuse or I don't even know. Like, I haven't been in that situation. I haven't been in a situation where I'm like, you may not hang out with them.
No.
I have been in situations where I say, you may not go to that person's house.
Correct.
Or I will call the parents and say, are you at the house?
Correct.
Oh, you're on a trip. Oh, interesting.
Interesting. Just there's a party being planned. Just FYI.
It's a little bit like trust but verify. That's the other phrase I've heard.
Trust but verify. That is handy.
But I think, I think exactly what you're saying. Like, it can be lonely, but if you stay with the people who aren't, whether they're bad influences or just not great friends,
right?
You don't even have space for the people who could be better.
Correct. And it's a different kind of lonely. You're sitting in that and you're lonely because you're not actually connecting usually, right? Mm-hmm. In the way that you want to be connecting with somebody. And then you are being put in so many situations that are very stressful. That you have no capacity to do anything else, to even break away. So I do think, that inner voice and trying that, I love that idea of the ripple too. Like, what is being left here with you? It can be better. And it's nice, you know, you do have four boys. So they can fill in the gap sometimes, right? Like, I have five.
Sometimes. Kids. Some of them get along better than others.
Oh, that shifts too. Don't you find that? Like, I never know who's going to be.
There is always one that no one really.
Even with four, right? Okay, that makes me feel better because there's five. And I'm always like, is it because it's an odd number?
No. But
no, it's not.
No, it's just a sibling thing. Personality. Yeah. And that's the thing too with the friends. Like, some of them don't need a huge gaggle.
They don't. They need one or two. And that's and that's the other thing, to normalize that. Right.
I think they want to be home for a whole day. They don't want to do 1,000 things that day. Why are you making me go do that? I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that. I just want to be on my couch.
I've been at school all week. School's exhausting. Right. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. So true. So true.
But speaking of, like, every child different, and like you said, the loneliness piece, or how the friends can cause some mental health. Yes. Let's talk about something that not a lot of moms have freedom to talk about, which is mental health. And you kind of shared, and I'm confident you shared with permission from your child, about just debilitating anxiety.
Yes.
And this is more common than not these days, children just not wanting to even go to school.
Oh,
like, that provides such a stress. I mean, I know with no phones in the classroom, that might relieve some of that.
I'm hoping it does. As a teacher too, like, because I see it on both sides, right? Like, I see it, I've seen it in my kids, and then I'm on the receiving end in the building with kids that don't want to come in, right? And so, like, such empathy for those parents in that situation, because shared everything with permission. They had to even sign off on their stories.
What was the story with that? Like, when was the...
Well, it hit me like a ton of bricks, because our first story was with my daughter, my oldest daughter, who is, like, literally grew up on the stage, the theater stage. She was a performer. That's all. She loved it. I mean, from, like, 5 years old on. She was lead, carried productions, just loved to be out with people. And suddenly, the smallest bit of thinking she had to do anything in front of people, I was a witness to her first anxiety attack. We had no idea what was going on. I thought, like, I didn't even know what to think. Somebody pulled me aside and said, listen, I saw that. She just had an anxiety attack, and you need to get her back in there. And you need to, because it's going to, you know, it's going to get in her head. Well, it did. And it suddenly took over everything. Like, she did not want to even walk in her building. And I was like, what is even happening here? And felt very much like, what have I done to cause this? Am I putting too much pressure on her? What is this, too much too soon? What is, have I parented her incorrectly this whole time? Right. Like, what have we done? No, this was her. This is her brain. And I had to course correct pretty quickly to think, well, all right, you know, I didn't cause the massive amounts of strep throat we went through when my kids were little, which is the whole other thing with a whole bunch of kids, right? Like, that wasn't my fault. What did I do?
Everything, the flu, hands, foot, mouth.
I mean, right. Like, what did I do? I called the doctor and I got some help. And
that's
so
really good. You know what? That just helps someone right now.
Right. I hope so.
Why we view mental health as a cause effect.
Correct.
And we don't with the flu.
Right.
I mean, we might say like, oh, I should have or shouldn't have not gotten the shot, or I should not taken to that park, or but honestly.
Right. It's we can distance ourselves from it emotionally. Right. But like, somehow they have mental health struggles, and it's like, somehow this is a fault, and some people are going to think I'm doing something wrong. And oh my gosh, if people find out that this is going on, are they going to think differently of her now? And like, so now I'm trying to shield all the things and put it underground. And that's so much for them to carry, because suddenly when I'm acting that way, there's shame around her anxiety attack for her. And so she's starting to think of something really big wrong with me. And so it's this snowball. And so to back that train up and say, listen, we're going to call our pediatrician, because that's what we do when something is going awry. And we are going to get you some help. And that help, unfortunately, looks a lot different than, oh, here's your antibiotic. You're going to feel better in 24 to 48 hours and you can go back to school. It is not that. When something happens with mental health, the road is much longer, much harder, and you have to stick with it in a way that you are able to say, I've got you, right? I love you. You're okay. It's fine to be a mess. It's okay to feel like you're not okay. It's okay to feel like you're broken in a million pieces. That's part of being a human person. People go through this and they get to the other side where you're not going to feel like you're broken in a million pieces anymore. Because and we've gone through different, this path with more than one kid. It's looked different in each kid. The triggers have been different. The healing has been different. And so knowing that, but then seeing in particular my lucky first pancake who got to go through it first, right? Got to be that model of, look, it was a long road, but she's okay. And now she actually ended up going to school. She's since changed her major for musical theater, right? And getting back in it. So she was able to get back in it, and she's performing. She's back in for actually music and music production, and she's back in the things she loved. But for a while, she was like, am I even going to be able to do what I love? Right. And so to watch someone come through that full circle and then realize we need to take care of our brains in a different way if we're prone to some mental health things. What are those things that we're going to do to take care of ourselves that are different? And so we've had so many conversations about that. And if you're in that and you're with that with your kid, you can do it. You absolutely can do it. You just need to surround yourself with the right people and be there for your kid and let them know it's just fine. People get through this all the time.
Who are the right people?
Oh, yes. So for us, the right person, first of all, was our pediatrician, because sometimes there, and for our kids, there have been different medical pieces that needed to be addressed.
Interesting. Like, what kind of pieces can be?
So for our daughter who had anxiety, her crippling anxiety actually turned out to be ADHD. We had no idea. She was super high performing, like 4.3 grade point average, all the AP classes. It was affecting her in different ways that weren't academic. So if we would not have treated her ADHD, her anxiety very likely would not have resolved like it would. We had another when he was little, actually had something kind of akin to like a PANDAS, right? That was causing some of these issues for him as a younger kid. So, right? Like, I had never heard of such a thing. So you need to get in there and get a medical workup. And the pediatrician also can help you understand, to what degree is your child feeling this way? Is there depression? Is there anxiety? Is there ADHD? Is there undiagnosed autism? What is happening underneath this? And they can set you up with the right mental health professionals, which is also sometimes a better track for getting in and getting your appointments, right? Like, this is the stuff that's going on. And then we've coupled always with mental health. And that arena is able to do a whole workup and discern what is happening for your child and what kind of treatments then do they need. It may just be therapy. It may be medication. It may be some combination thereof. So getting that team around you is so crucial. And then figuring out that root cause for your kid. And it can be surprising. Like, I would just assume, especially as an educator, I would go in kind of like, well, I kind of know. I know what it looks like to have ADHD. You're fine. Nope, not fine at all. So for me to have to then sit with that and say, I missed that in my kid, where I didn't miss it in some of my other kids, was extremely humbling, but so important for me to remove my ego from that whole thing and get them exactly where it was I needed to be. And it was a complete game changer.
A friend of ours owns a brain treatment center. And offered us very kindly EEGs for everybody's brain.
Oh, so cool.
And everyone's brain is so different. Like we were just talking about.
Right.
All so different. All struggling in such unique ways. And yeah, that fight or flight is for real.
It is.
And it can be triggering in that part of the brain. And then it's like, then you get other behaviors because they're trying to stay safe. They're trying to feel safe.
Absolutely.
And so I do think, yeah, having that therapist come in and work through some behavior patterns that have happened because of the root cause.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love how you're saying, yeah, it can be it's not just a like, let's talk about your feelings conversation.
Here's the Calm app. Why don't you take
Here's the Calm app.
I believe that was one of my strategies at the end. Like, how about we try this guided meditation before you go into school? Like, well, she somewhere in her brain, she knew she was missing all these cues that were happening during her day. And it was making her so incredibly anxious as it would. There was no Calm app that was going to, you know, that's a great app. Use it. Wonderful. But it wasn't the right thing for that situation.
And as a theater person who also has some like probably ADHD, anxiety myself, that's what you love about the theater.
Right.
You know exactly the lines and what your role is and you can excel in it and you feel like.
Oh my gosh, I love that you just said that. That never has occurred to me. That makes so much sense.
It's all planned out.
And that was her thing. That was getting her through all those years. Oh my gosh, you just gave me like, I just feel like a piece of the puzzle just fell right into place for me. Thank you for that.
And especially with girls. I mean, I've interviewed Sissy Goff on talking about anxiety.
Yes.
She talks about with girl dynamics, there's the conversation that's here, my hands up by my head. And then there's one down here.
Yes.
And when you have the ADHD and the anxiety, you're missing.
Yes.
And so you struggle with girl friendships anyway.
Yes, that is such a big thing. And that I think that was such a big thing for her. And she did find like a friend group eventually that was able to bridge that gap for her. Like they were just those. But also I think that those are the kids who hang in those spaces.
Yeah.
Right?
My
right?
people.
Yes,
my
I
people.
Love it. Your people.
A little bit awkward, a little bit quirky.
They're my favorite people. It's my favorite group. Always
we don't know how to pretend.
Right.
I'm so sorry. It's all out there.
And that's the most beautiful conversations you can have with anyone.
Yeah. If you're raising that daughter, just hello, here I am.
Look at you go.
Let me be the shining light of hope for you.
Yes.
That you can be a functional adult.
Yes.
One day.
Oh, thank
and
you. It's
yeah,
beautiful.
No, I think, man, it's a challenge. And if your child does have a mental health challenge right now and they're not going to school, that's something a mom may be listening right now. Like that's her week this week. When you get into mid-September or October, the excitement of a new year is kind of gone and the challenges are increasing. And I think these dynamics start hitting.
They really do.
How did you manage that?
It was really getting them there, right? So it was, and I just am picturing myself sitting in this car right now. You're putting me right back in this moment where I'm like up in front of the high school and there's a kid sitting next to me in the car that is just sobbing. And they're like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. So partnering with the school was key for us. Like who is going to be the safe person on the other side that you can picture, that you can be with? And sometimes that's a friend. Other times it's a teacher, especially for a kid who's struggling with friendships. Who is that person? Who can I help my kid connect with, involving the school, like their counseling room? Like, this is what's going on. You have to involve everybody, attendance, the whole nine yards, because people have to understand, like, this kid is not just refusing to go to school because they're like trying to be truant, right? This is what's going on for this kid.
Yeah.
What plan can we make? And so partnering with the school and having a plan was absolutely key. And so that can be really hard because you feel as a parent, like, I shouldn't have to do this. My kid should be spoiled at school. No, partner with the school, bring them in. They should, and speaking as an educator, they should meet you. And you should be able to say, like, what is the plan for getting this kid in? Is it they're going to go to this class first? And then they're going to do some work from home and they're going to log into the Google Classroom. And then we're going to build up to this class, and this class. We had to do some of that because it's better to go to some than none. And we don't want to back all the way off because I had kids. I currently, even that every once in a while, I was like, can I just be online? I just want to be online. Like, no, that's actually not the solution, right? Like, I get why you want to do that.
Avoidance is not the long-term.
Avoidance is not going to be the answer for you. We need to get you in there. So it might be small pieces and working up to bigger pieces, connecting with that person who's going to be the person that there is greeting you, is saying hello. Like, we have a phenomenal art teacher in our building that is the person, like, my girls in particular all just adored her. Like, okay, well, I've got class with her today. Great, right? So that's a shining place. Making a plan for how are you going to make it through lunch? Where are you going to go? What's going to happen during all those times that are highly stressful? What are your coping mechanisms that you're going to do when things get hard? And helping them, and then therapy also helped them build some of those, because we don't always have those tools. I don't know what they are. Here I was just saying, here's the call map, right? Like, so who can help us build those tools?
Sponsored by the call map. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe they'll give you a little cut. But right. So what are those strategies that we can give them? Because I'm in particular thinking about high schoolers where it's more difficult. My middle schooler, it was a little easier because there's more hands-on, you know, from teachers and staff. But the high school this is not new to them. They have kids all over the place not wanting to come in and disappearing. And they want desperately for our kids to want to be there and to be there, right? So that partnership is crucial. And then helping them build those tools and celebrating those little successes, right? Like, that was hard for me. Like, okay, so you made it through your first class. I tend to be more disappointed you're not going to the rest of the day. Right? As a mom, I want you to be the whole thing. No, we need to celebrate every single small win that we have along the way. Celebrate the heck out of it. Like, you did it. You should feel so proud and strong that you made it through that class. And what this is showing us is now you can do two. All right, when are we're going to break into that two. We're going to break into three. It's probably going to be before you want to, kid. We're going to push it before you really feel like you want to do this. And then, you know, there are times I've sat outside the school and just sobbed in my car while they were in there.
Yeah.
It's okay. Sob in your car. It's fine. If you need to park outside, I've done that too. Like, I'm going to park in this parking lot and I'm going to be out here for your first hour. Just know I'm here. Yeah. Great. Whatever it is you can do to support them and then to support yourself, you need to have someone who is supporting you through this as well. We've had parents come into schools just sobbing. Like, I don't know what else to do. And I just want to hold them in my arms and say, like, I get it. Please don't feel shame. Please don't feel like you're doing anything wrong. We know you're doing the best you can. And together we will get your kid through it. And they will come out the other side. I right now, knock on wood, everyone is in a school building. And I'll tell you,
you
at
are
one
alone
point
in your house.
And I am alone in my house. And there were times in my life where I didn't even know that was going to happen.
You couldn't count on that.
I could not count on that. So this, you know, I see you, I have been in your space, and I will tell you there's hope on the other side.
And y'all can definitely, there's part of that is in the book, right?
Yeah, there's a whole big chunk on this. If you need more on mental health and supports, please just, there's so much in that chapter. So many other stories that I've shared as well that hopefully will speak to people's hearts.
Can you do a speed round? Because I know we have to go and it always makes me mad because I'm really enjoying
the
conversation.
My gosh, where did the time go?
I know. With this age group, I've interviewed Dr. Ken Wilgus. He talks about feeding the mouth that bites you, planned emancipation. Like, the goal is that they own their life, that they are adults. They're asking, when am I an adult? And you kind of create this plan. Well, here's where I'm having the struggle lately.
Yes.
Because to me, freshman, sophomore boys, not my fave. I want you to be independent, but I also am not loving having to be the one who keeps up with the plan.
Correct.
Of ownership and responsibility. Can you give me a pep talk? Because I'm so tired of being that.
100%
keeper of the plan.
The keeper of the plan is the worst. Exhausting.
Yeah.
And so I just actually did a little video on this morning.
Okay.
So
okay.
Nice and fresh. So truly, one of the biggest shifts we've had to make in my art in this family is that I'm not in charge of all the things just because I birthed you. I am not in charge of keeping track of everybody's stuff and making sure you all get your stuff done. Like, you're not all helping me. Everyone feels like they're helping me because everything's my job. No, these are not even my jobs. Like, a lot of this, it's just our job. We live here together. So, like, when it comes to, like, getting stuff done, first of all, we're all on the same team. So, like, when you do the dishes, you're just, like, being a good human. You're not doing my job. So I'm not going to, like, thank you for doing my job.
I'm not going to reward you for that.
I'm not going to reward you. It's just like, that's what we do when we live here, right? Yeah. So there is that, that piece of it. And if you are not being a good roommate, like, you need to be a good roommate before you go do other things. So a lot of what we would do is like, okay, great. Like, here's what needs to be done. Here are the things that have to happen. you're not going out with your girlfriend until that thing is done. Yeah. So if you are home all day on your Saturday cleaning your room, that is 100% your choice, right? Like, these cars all belong to me. The keys all belong to me. I graciously let you use my things. Your phone belongs to me. It all belongs to me, right? So like, I'm going to continue to let you use these things as long as you're a pretty good roommate. And when you're not, like, so we've had that, right? And that can be really difficult. Like, the line I'm towing instead is just like, I'm not holding on to this for you. I'm making you aware of it. We have a chore wheel out to be spin. Like, you know what your chore is. You know what's going on. You've got your things that have to be done. And then I go with God, whatever it is, go with God. You might miss some things. You might, and that's okay. And so like, taking that ownership off of me and putting it onto them has been huge. And that also goes for like all the other things, like making plans with your friends, or like making sure someone's driving, or you have this, that, or the other thing. You might sometimes not have what you need because you have not advocated, you have not asked, you have not responded to the family thread where I am saying, this is the one trip I'm making to Target. If you do not put this on the family thread, you do not have it. Yeah. And then you just don't have it. So we sometimes have to let them sit in that.
With the like room situation, and the, the thing I'm not loving is I have to check the room.
Oh, I hate that.
To get, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. We've already established it. Just do the thing.
Just do the thing.
We've already established whatever the rule is for this show. Let's just, yeah. I'm making up rules. Screens go off at 9:30, right? Correct. Let's just make up a rule.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to then go check on you. Are you off your phone at 9:30? Like, can we just, but that's, I guess that's just my job right now.
I feel like some of it is our job. I did just get it's internet just where job. I can turn I it all off. So I like that, that.
I'm yeah. just tired, but.
This some of the things we have to check.
I chose right. four children. This is my.
Well, and some of it is like, it depends on the age of the person, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, like an all call for phones to be plugged in at a certain time is still like something I do. Or I farm out like on the chore wheel. I do have somebody who's the checker.
And so like somebody else is the checker.
Somebody else is the checker. So like that. Could be Thomas, could be Sam, could be Ellie. Somebody else is the checker. Like, we do that on chore day too. Like, a kid is checking the chores. I love that so much because they are. Some of them are awesome at it. Like, I'm not really good with time. So sometimes if you're supposed to be off your phone at 9, you're on till 10. I'm terrible with time. But I have other people who are like real sticklers of justice, putting them in charge of everybody else and everybody gets a turn to be in charge, right? So like, I love that too because it makes them walk in our shoes. It's like, it's kind of a pain in the butt, isn't it? It's a pain to walk around and do this. So like, you take a turn. So some of those jobs when they're teenagers that like would typically be ours, we can creatively farm out and see and then talk about how did it go.
I think that's great. So you have a chore. Is this in the book? The chore wheel?
The chore wheel. I don't know if I had the chore wheel when I wrote the book. I know it's on my Facebook because I pinned it, I think, to the top of my Facebook page.
Okay.
So you can see the chore wheel, but there is an inspector. And then there's another person like gives out the job. So there's two, like both the jobs that would typically be mine, like the organizing and the inspecting. I try to farm those out, but then I get a chore from the chore wheel and someone also checks my job.
Oh, see, that's so great.
I'm just a member of the community, right? So like if I'm scrubbing the kitchen floor, someone has to come and make sure mine's done and I'm not on my phone. And guess what? That also makes me realize like I'm on my phone too much and sometimes I am a failure.
That is really good. I really love that. Okay. Yeah. Everyone's going to go check that out.
Yeah.
My mom just sent me a reel today that was a guy. I'm sure he has a three-year-old, but he's the expert on chores. And he was saying they call it skill building.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're learning dish skills. We're learning whatever skills. We're learning gardening skills. Good for him.
That's good. I did send the other day to the family thread a 1-minute video of how fast it takes to clean a toilet and what is the proper technique. So you may also find yourself doing things like that.
Skills.
Well, I'm like, I was skill building toilets because clearly no one has understood this, the value of the toilet brush and how it can actually take 1 minute. 1 minute.
One minute. No, I
love this. Come on, people.
I might be implementing. I'm so thankful. Well, Amy, such a delight to get to chat with you. Thank you for talking about things that no one talks about with parenting teens.
Thank you for having me. This was just a delight.
We'll need to do it again. Okay.
I love that. Yes, absolutely. All right.
I was looking at the questions my VA Megan had written for our Dumb Mom Alone podcast clubs. And I was thinking about you as you've listened to this and wondered what struggle you have with your child right now that you don't have a safe place to talk about it, whether your child's a teen or other child, and how I long for that for you. And I know there is so much shame that is connected to having a child who struggles. And shame leads us to hide. And so my prayer for you, and I hope that you pray it with me, is, Lord, bring to mind one person I can reach out to today that I can say, hey, do you have a second to talk? And it's got to be a person. And I hope we are these people who empathize, who say, I don't know what to say, but I'm so glad you told me. And for you out there, if a friend has shared something hard with a child, if they haven't asked for advice, give them that gift, because we so often tie our kids' performance, whether they're doing well or whether they're doing poorly, with our identity and worth as moms. And we say we're not going to do it, but we do. So if that's you, if your child is struggling with mental health, if they aren't wanting to go to school and you feel that shame, I am going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for your child. And I do hope that God brings to mind that one person you can reach out to today. Lord, I know you go after the one, that you leave the 99 for the one, and that your heart is for each of our kids to be in relationship with you. Every single person on this planet, that is your goal. That is why you sent your son. You loved the world, and not just the world as this mass of numbers, but you see the individual. You come after our kids, and you are pursuing them, and they are on a journey. And I pray, Lord, that as moms, we would support one another instead of making this a competition, that we could be for one another, that if a friend shares something hard, we can be that safe place to land for them. And if we are struggling, that we would ask you, Lord, please bring to mind right now that person they could text, they could meet for coffee, they could get together with, and just share what's hard right now. Lord, we thank you for your hope of redemption and all of these hard things in the world right now, that you are still present. You are still working. You are still providing grace to walk through every hard thing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, y'all, for joining me and Amy. Next week, it'll be a little Christmas in October. I know I'm breaking all the rules, but it's really more about seeking Jesus and finding him, and it's with a dear friend of mine. And so I look forward to sharing that with you. Also, don't forget, Sidetracked has a new home. If you haven't found it, send me a message, heather@don'tmomalone.com, and I can help you find it. Cynthia and I are still laughing. Twice a month, we have episodes out on Sidetracked, and then twice a month, we have this new thing for Super Trackers. If you want even more laughs, twice the fun, you can be a Super Tracker. So anywho, we'll put a link to that in the show notes too. I will see you back here next week. Adios.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone, because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.